My wife and I. First, had a little scare there when the doctor told her she had to be referred out to Stanford, you know. I reminded her there's nothing that we can do. No. God is in control. God is in control of our lives. And I'd like to remind you that as well today. In your life. Whether you're worried or you're stressed or whatever's going on, God is there for us. And this church body is there for us. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is our church body being there for us. Last time I spoke, after I was done, two little girls came up to me. It was Olivia and Savannah. They gave me this little sheet and tallied up how many times I said a word during my sermon. And I got 57 points, and I was like, dang, I failed. And I was looking at it, and Isabel, you know, sitting right next to me afterwards, looks at it. And Savannah was explaining her tally marks to me. And I get to the word love, and there was one tally mark. And Isabel's like, dang, husband, you need a little more love in your sermons. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, is love. Love for one another, that we're willing to forgive each other. Love for one another, that we're willing to be united. Because I believe that through unity and through forgiveness is the true way that we show love for one another. Christ forgave us, showing his love for us. And that is how we should be with each other. Forgiving and being able to come together. I'm going to read the scripture reading to you guys again. It says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let our gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Two characters that I'm going to use out of that scripture reading today is Euodia, or Euodia, and Syntyche. See, Paul reminded us that sometimes we need to get rid of our baggage. We need to get rid of the things that are holding us back. It kind of tells us the same thing in the book of Hebrews, and I want you to turn there with me. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He's reminding us that we need to let go of those things that ensnare us in order for us to be able to run at full capacity. And that's how this church body needs to be. We need to get rid of the things that hold us back, that prevent us from running at full capacity. I'm going to go back to Philippians. And verse 1 of chapter 4 actually kind of goes with the last part of chapter 3. So I'm going to start reading from there. Okay, so it's about chapter 3, verse 17. And I'm going to read there through verse 7 again. Okay? And it says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross at Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, and it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by him he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let our gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, in verse 1 of chapter 4, some, I guess, translations say stand fast, and others say stand firm. Okay? And when you read that, and it says stand firm, it's almost as a command, almost like a military command, to stand one's ground in the midst of an enemy attack, to not back up. And we often hear this example of we're at war, we're at battle. But I remind you, we are not at war with the believer and the unbeliever. We are not at war with your brother and your sister. We are at war with the fleshly desires of our soul. See, in 1 Peter 2:11, I want you to turn there with me. It says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul of man." This battle that we are up against is against yourself. It's against your pride. It's against your ego. And those fleshly desires that our heart wants at times. Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 20 for you. Okay? It says, I'll wait for you to get there. Kind of going fast and my sermons are short, so I could kill some time. Okay, and it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded against your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Sometimes I read that last part, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Because sometimes I feel like I'm tiptoeing around things. Because I'm afraid to hurt someone, to hurt someone's feelings. Well, dude, sometimes I'm talking to someone, my eye twitches, and it's like I offended them. And I have to remind myself that we have to stick to the Word of God, and we have to speak the Word of God in our lives. And if we are being offended by the Word of God, that's not your brother and sister. That is our conviction. It's not that, oh, Alex's message told me I was a rotten sinner. No. It's that we love you. It's that we want what is best for you. We are often at the risk of being tempted one way or another, either toward pride, toward our ego. And Paul says it's a battle and we have to stand firm. If Paul is the commander encouraging his troops, he's encouraging them and us out of deep love. When we're up here speaking, we are encouraging you out of love. We are giving you what we have gone through, what the Word of God has shown us through our lives. I'm not up here because I'm like, ooh, everybody gets to hear me. Nobody gets to talk back. Here's my time. I stress out so much about the messages that I give you. And I'm sure the rest of the speakers do as well. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi out of love. He says to them, "You whom I love and longed for, my joy and my crown." See, these are words usually used to describe your spouse or your child. But we need to remember that Paul started this church that he's writing to. It's his baby. It's his everything. "You whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown." See, and everything was going well until two of them had a little disagreement. Yodia and Syntyche. You've seen it happen before. Two good friends working side by side together for years. And one's having a bad day and says something that offends the other. And the other responds harshly. And now it's like, well, I don't want to look at that person. And a week later goes by, and they're still mad at each other, but they don't really know why. Paul begs them to reconcile and asks a friend to intervene. So showing love to one another and working side by side in order for the main goal. And that main goal is to share the gospel. He loves them both, like a father with the desire to see his children get along. See, as Paul loves them both, they should remember the love that they had for each other at one time. These two women had contended at Paul's side. See, just as an army must be unified in order to win a battle, we need to be unified as a body if we're going to fight against the evil in our own lives. Because we can't do this alone. You can't go into this war that we so call it on your own. You need your brother and sister no matter how much you deny it. We need each other. Philippians chapter 2, I'd like for you to turn there with me. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in which you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Christ humbled himself. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to humble ourselves. Many of the disagreements that happen, whether they're in the church or they're not in the church, they're in our families that so often don't come to church with us, are over small little things. They're over that one thing that they did that one Thanksgiving that I don't even remember because they looked at me that way. And I told them to pass me a fork and he gave me a spoon. See, our unity sometimes gets shaken by the smallest things. See, our unity is so important to spreading the gospel. Jesus says that this is the way that people will know that we are his disciples. If we have love for one another. See, Jesus spends his last minutes with his disciples before he's arrested and crucified, praying for them and begging them to be unified. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, please. The parable of the unforgiving servant. This is Matthew 18, verses 21, and I'm going to read you the entire parable that goes all the way to 35. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you?" And this master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." You know, we have love for one another, for giving up the stuff that is holding us back in order to move us forward. not just the spiritual pride, not just the obvious sins, but the disagreements and the judgments that we have with our brothers and sisters. Give them up for the sake of helping us grow. It's like running a relay and holding back that baton from the next runner. Like, I don't like that guy. I'm not going to give him this baton. Well, dummy, it's hurting you as well. When you're running that race and you don't want to pass on that baton, you're causing your team to lose. See, it's the same thing. When you don't want each other to do something that you wanted to do, it hurts the entire team. See, none of us have ever acted like Yodi and Sintish, right? Giving up the relationship because of some offense that we don't even remember. So what do we do in that situation? When you find yourself, oh, I can't stand that person. And you're like, I really don't want to go to Bible study, or I don't want to go to class because they're going to be there. You remember God's love. Remember the love that God has for you. You remember the love that God has for them. You pray for them. You pray for yourself to open up your heart, to be able to forgive them, to be able to be unified. You remember the importance of the work of the gospel. Remember that no offense against you can take away the fact that you're a child of God. Give up your selfishness. Have the mind of Christ. Be hard to offend. Sometimes we need a little tougher skin. Grant mercy, just as Christ grants mercy to us. When an offense has happened, forgive each other. And forgive each other fast. Forgiveness rather than excuses. There's so many excuses that we can make up why you don't want to talk to that one person. Don't make those excuses. Be the first to forgive them in order for you to have the same mind. Because true love is fighting together against the sinful desires which war against your soul. I love you all, and I pray that we become unified and easily forgive one another in order to win the battle that is much greater than ourselves. I want you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, as we read earlier. And remember that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Love your brother and sister, and become unified. Grace to you. Peace be multiplied.